This message is brought to you by 12 Stone Church. Pastor Sean Myers delivers the teaching entitled, Oh, the Places You Will Go. This is the first message in the series, Parenting Through Proverbs, from Solomon to Seuss. We hope this serves you well. Please enjoy.
Oh, the places you will go. Congratulations! Today is your day. You're off to great places. You're off and away. You have brains in your head. You have feet in your shoes. You can steer yourself any direction you choose. You're on your own, and you know what you know, and you are the guy who'll decide where to go. Oh, the places you'll go. You'll be on your way up. You'll be seeing great sights. You'll join the high flyers who soar to high heights. Wherever you fly, you'll be the best of the best. Wherever you go, you will top all the rest. Except when you don't, because sometimes you won't. I'm sorry to say so, but sadly it's true that bang-ups and hang-ups can happen to you. But on and on you will hike, and I know you'll hike far and face up to your problems, whatever they are. You'll get mixed up, of course, as you already know. You'll get mixed up with many strange birds as you go. So be sure when you step, step with great care and great tact, and remember that life's a great balancing act. And will you succeed? Yes, you will indeed. 98.75% guaranteed. Kid, you'll move mountains. So be your name, a Buxbaum or Bixby Abray or Mordecai Alivan Allen O'Shea, you're off to great places. Today is your day. Your mountain is waiting, so get on your way.
Well, welcome to 12 Stone. We're so glad that you're here for a series on parenting. Just so we're clear. But this one is different, as you have likely noticed, because rhyming's the theme, and you're welcome to quote us. We're going to look at this topic from a different view, whether Thudwig, Yertle, Thing 1, or Thing 2. And yes, we want to take your parenting skills to the top, but by now you're likely wishing this rhyming would stop. But with principles to teach and practices to use, we're parenting through Proverbs from Solomon to Seuss. Now, some of you are impressed, right? And some of you could care less. The rest of you are praying to God it stops so that we can remain sane throughout this series. But we do. We want to say welcome to our Dr. Seuss series on parenting. And where are we going today? We're going to be talking about and learning a principle and a priority that not only applies to us as parents, but applies to all areas of our lives, inside of our marriages, our finances. And we're going to look at it through the book, Oh, the Places You'll Go. This book was written and illustrated by Theodore Geisel, better known as Dr. Seuss, known as the most iconic and best-selling author of children's books. The book debuted 26 years ago in 1990, and since then has been Dr. Seuss's number one bestseller with over 10 million copies sold. Last year was the 25th anniversary, and CNN did kind of a special, wrote an article on what this book meant and reflected back on its release. And Mallory Lohr, vice president and publisher of Random House Children's Books, said this about it, and I'll read. Its success isn't exactly a surprise. I remember the buzz around the book even then. Dr. Seuss had already been a major player in children's literature for decades. It was his swan song, and he knew it. It's a career summation in a lot of ways, both visually and morally, in the messages and images. It includes portions that were revealing of his private struggles. And many believe it include the wrestlings and reflections on his life for the fact that he never had a child of his own. Isn't that interesting? Little known fact, Dr. Seuss never had any kids. See, his wife Helen was unable to bear children. And when Dr. Seuss was asked how he could connect with children despite the fact that he didn't have any, his answer was in a way that only Seuss can say. He said, "You have them, and I'll entertain them." It's a great quote, but the fact that Dr. Seuss never had any children actually brings up a challenge that we're facing today, a challenge that we're going to face throughout this entire series. And what's the challenge? Here it is. Our situations are so diverse. See, some of us have kids. Some of us don't have kids. Some of us are trying to have kids. Some of us can't have kids. Some of you are raising your own kids. Some of you are raising someone else's kids. Maybe you're raising your kids on your own. Maybe you've adopted or you have foster kids staying inside of your home. Maybe you're becoming an empty nester and your kids are leaving. Maybe you're just starting to raise grandkids inside of your home. I mean, it's just so diverse. We all have different situations we're walking through. So today, in order to get into this teaching and really go through this series, I wanted to start off in a place and really find some commonalities that we have, some things that we share in common that every parent or person really would share in common when it comes to parenting. And I'll walk back here to our TV and talk a little bit through some of these commonalities we have. And here's the first one. We have no idea what we're getting ourselves into. Isn't that true? We have no idea. It doesn't matter what spectrum you're on when it comes to parenting or what's going on in your life. We just have no idea. I mean, you could have one kid and you don't know what it's like to have two. Maybe you don't have kids at all and you have no idea what you're getting yourself into. Maybe you have toddlers and they're about to be twos. You don't know what that's going to look like. Maybe you're about to have teenagers and we should just stop and pray for you right now, right? Because it's difficult. But man, maybe you have kids and you're going to be an empty nester coming up. Maybe you're an empty nester and you're about to have grandkids, like our senior pastor. He doesn't know what it's coming. We have no idea what we're getting ourselves into. Now, before Cassie and I actually had children, I had three theories on parenting. Now I have three children and no theories at all on what we need to do. See, we were really kids having kids. We were high on energy and low on wisdom. Now we're low on energy and a little bit more wisdom in the process. But man, having kids is so complicated. We currently have three complications right now, Ella, Beckett, and Sailor. And we love them to death, but man, they are just so difficult. And no matter their ages, we have no idea what we are getting ourselves into for the next season. In fact, comedian Michael McIntyre has a little bit of fun with this idea that we have no idea what we're getting ourselves into when it comes to pairing. It's a 2-minute segment, well worth the laugh. Check it out.
And there are people in this room who do have children, and there are people in this room who don't have children. And the people who don't have children, they think they know, don't they? They think they know. They know what it means to have children. Sometimes they chat about it, don't they, in their little couples. You know, oh, I'd love to start a family one day with you. It'd be lovely. You'd make a really good dad. Oh, I think you'd be an amazing mom. Wouldn't it be so lovely having little versions of you and me running around? I'd love to have a family. And you think you know what you're talking about. You have no idea. You have no idea what it's like. You have no idea how difficult things will become in your life. Things that you don't even consider to be things will become nearly impossible
when you have children.
I'm talking about things like leaving the house, for example. This is how people without children leave the house. Shall we leave the house?
Yes.
This is how I leave the house almost every day. Lucas, Oscar, come downstairs. We're late. Why aren't you downstairs? Put your shoes on.
I don't know where my shoes are.
Put your shoes on. Go and find your shoes. Where did you see them last?
On my feet.
After that, get your shoes on. Come here. Arms up, arms up, arms in, arms in, arms up, arms up, arms in. That's my wife. She's so tired, she can't dress herself. Sleeping. Sleeping at night! This is how people without children. Yeah, most nights, yeah. Good night, darling. Good night. Good night. Sometimes you go, sleep well, and the other one goes, I will. I will. That's how cocky, how arrogant you are. I will, I know I will. Good night, darling. Have a good sleep. Good night. It's been a long time since my wife and I said good night to each other, okay? Now we just go, good luck.
Isn't that great? And it's so funny Because whatever season of life you are in, we have no idea what we're getting ourselves into. We just don't know what the next season is going to look like. But there's a second commonality we all have in this process. We all have places we want our children to go in life, don't we? We all have places we want our children to go. Now, I can actually prove that to you by asking a question for us today. And here's the question that proves we all have places we want our children to go. Why do we care so much about what the gender of our child is going to be? Before we ever have the child, before we ever know the gender, everyone has a preference. Who will be able to admit that in this room right now? Raise your hand. If you cared what the gender of your child would be, you did. You're a bunch of liars in here. We all care. It matters to us. Why? Because we all have places we want our children to go. I will never forget the first time Cassie and I found out the gender of our first daughter, Ella. She'll never forget it either, Cassie, I'm talking about. In the moment, we're sitting there with the nurse anticipating what our gender was going to be of our child. And I remember sitting there, Cassie's getting a little bit worked up, getting excited about this, and the nurse leans over and she goes, "It's a girl." And Cassie gets so excited, so emotional, tears running down her face a little bit. She's welling up. And I look at that nurse and I go, "No, it's not. Check again." And my wife gives me this look. "You don't love our child. What are you doing?" But they don't understand. See, in my mind, my wife was just about to have a 5'8" starting quarterback for the NFL, right? But I had plans that I had for my children. We care about this. We all have places we want our children to go. So how do we do that? How do we do that? How do we have success in life and in parenting to get our places to all the places we want them to go? Because even Dr. Seuss understands that there is no guarantee in life. It's why his most recognized quote and memorable quote from "Oh, the Places You'll Go" says this. I'll read. "And will you succeed? Yes, you will indeed. 98 3/4% guaranteed. Kid, you'll move mountains." And I love that he says 98 3/4% guaranteed, right? Because there's no guarantees in life. Again, going back to that first pregnancy that Cassie and I had. I remember when we first found out we were pregnant, I was so excited about it. I wanted to tell everyone. I went to one of my close friends, another pastor on staff, Jason Berry. And I went up to him. We kind of had some high five celebrating that I was going to be a father. And I remember looking at him and saying, "Man, Jason, I am going to be the best dad ever." And he looked at me in this moment and he asked me a question I'll never forget. He said, "Sean, how are you going to do that?" I'm just going to be the best dad ever. I don't know. I felt so stupid in the moment. I didn't know how to reply. And then I'll never forget what he said to me after that. He said, "Sean, get a plan. Get a plan in place." And I learned a principle in that moment when it came to parenting, when it came to life, that through this conversation, there is an overarching principle that in every arena of our life, it applies. And the principle is on your notes. I want to give it to you today to help us understand how we go after success. And here's the principle. Success is not a goal, it's a byproduct. See, success is not something we stumble into. It's a byproduct of a process we go through in every area of our life. You don't just become wealthy. We understand that, right? It takes years of discipline in managing your money and finances and investments. You don't just have a great marriage. That takes years of serving one another and putting the other one first, your spouse first, in your life. You don't just get to the NCAA tournament championship. You don't. That takes hours and days of practices and games to win to get there. We get this. Now let me make a point and bring it back to parenting. Here's the thought. We don't just turn in to great parents. We train to become one. I'll say it again. We don't just turn into great parents. We train to become one. Because success is not a goal. It's a byproduct. And the book of Proverbs is going to be our training manual throughout this series. It's where we're going to go after the teaching that God has for us to grow us up as parents. And you can grab your Bibles, your Worship Center Bibles. They're under your chairs, in front of your chairs. Maybe at one of our mobile campuses, you grabbed them on the way in. But we're going to be turning to page 629, Proverbs chapter 2. And listen, we're going to be landing in Proverbs, soaking inside of this scripture and learning from it. But I love the book of Proverbs because it's common sense for people that don't have it. Can I say that? It's common sense for people that don't have it. And it takes dumb people and makes them smart. And I felt so stupid in that moment with Jason. I needed to turn to the book of Proverbs to have a better understanding. See, Proverbs is a collection of wise sayings on real issues that train people up to grow in wisdom. And the reason it helps in parenting is because the book of Proverbs was written from a father's heart for his children. It's not just a random collection of wise sayings. It's a father, King Solomon, who you could say was the Seuss of his time based on the way he wrote it, wrote this to teach his son about life because he loves his son and wants his son to go places in life. So we are going to be using the book of Proverbs to help train us up to become great parents, to take our kids all the places they can go by getting wisdom from God. And really, there's one verse that is going to kind of summarize what we want to do inside of this series for the next 4 weeks, and it's Proverbs chapter 22, verse 6. They're going to throw it on the screen. I'll read it for us. Start children off on the way they should go, and even when they are old, they will not turn from it. Now, many people look at this verse and consider it a promise of God, but in reality, this is more a pleading from Solomon to us to start parenting our kids through a process so that we can start them off on the ways that they can go. Now I want to show you what that process is going to look like for us throughout this series. And really it breaks down to four seasons of parenting. In the first season is ages 1 through 5. These are the discipline years. Now you know you're in this season of parenting when you are just tired all the time. That's it. Like this service for you when you're in this season, this service for you is your spring break vacation, right? I mean, you just get an hour away from your kids, you're just relaxing, hoping it goes on forever. You are just so tired when you're in the disciplined season of parenting. Cassie and I, we're in this season right now. We have kids that are ages 5, 2, and 1, and man, it is absolutely exhausting parenting these kids and disciplining them constantly. Just a little bit ago, my wife Cassie was disciplining Ella in our household. You're going to get a little spank on the butt if you do something wrong. And Ella is getting to that age at 5 years old where she's beginning to understand discipline and the moments and when they're coming and when she's doing something wrong, and she's getting smart. She's starting to figure out how she can get out of a spanking. See, here's what she's doing. She actually one day did the one thing you don't do in our home. You don't disrespect your mother. She disrespected her mother, and right when she latched out and kind of hit Cassie, she knew in the moment, you know that light, that look goes off in their brain, and they just know they did something wrong. Well, she figured out when it's about to come that if she just lets her body go limp and falls to the floor, a spanking can't happen. So literally, she reaches out, hits Cassie, she goes limp and just falls to the floor, and Cassie's like reaching down, grabbing an arm, trying to pick her up, trying to smack her butt, and the entire time, I kid you not, Ella is screaming at the top of her lungs, "Kids are stronger! Kids are stronger!" Pray for us. Man, we are so tired in disciplining our kids, but that's the season. That's what this is. Ages 1 through 5, we're just constantly disciplining our kids throughout this season. Now, the second season is ages 6 through 11. These are the training years. And you know you're in this season when your kids start all their activities and you never see your family ever again, right? That's when life just gets so busy. And the next season after that is ages 12 to 18. These are the coaching years. And these are some of the most difficult years to parent with teenagers. In fact, Mark Twain has one of my favorite quotes when it comes to this season. He says, "When your kid turns 13, seal them in a barrel and feed them through the knot hole." Then he says, "When they turn 16, just seal the hole. Be done with it." right? Because it is so difficult. And finally, the last season of parenting is ages 18 plus. These are the friendship years of life. And I think most parents will probably make the mistake where they're trying to be friends with their kids as they're parenting through all of these seasons. But really, friendship years are saved for 18 plus. Now, during this series, as we go through these seasons and teach through them each week, we're going to be going after the wins that we need to have in each season. Self-awareness, self-direction, self-control, selflessness. These are things we have to win inside of our kids' lives throughout this season. And they're connected. They're connected to one another. So you have to win self-awareness to be able to win self-direction. And we know this is true because we've all watched parents parent their 11-year-olds like they're a 5-year-old, right? You have to win each season as we go through. They rely on one another. Now, we're going to take 4 weeks, as I said, to walk through each one of these seasons, so to speak, and how we can parent through them. But what I want to do for us for the rest of our time today is get back into Proverbs, to soak in this and let it saturate our lives when it comes to parenting. And we're going to do that through Proverbs chapter 2 and 3 here today. Because if success is not a goal but a byproduct, then there is a focused priority that we have to have inside of our lives. And Proverbs is going to bring that to us. So you're already there, page 629. Proverbs chapter 2, I'm going to start with verse 1. My son, King Solomon speaking to his son, my son, if you accept my words and store up my commands within you, turning your ear to wisdom and applying your heart to understanding. Indeed, if you call out for insight and cry aloud for understanding, and if you look for it as for silver and search for it as in hidden treasure, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding. Now here's the focus he's about to get into with his son, and he says this: God, he holds success in store for the upright. He is a shield to those whose walk is blameless, for he guards the course of the just and protects the way of his faithful ones. So upright, blameless, just, faithful. These are the focuses that King Solomon is going after with his son, what he's pressing into. And then verse 9 reveals the outcome of what it is to have these things. He says, then, when you focus on these things, then you will understand what is right and just and fair, every good path. In other words, oh, the places you'd go if you would just have these priorities right in your life. And Solomon is changing the priorities inside of how he parents and the priorities inside of his son as well, and we need to as well. So here's the priority. Here's the shift that God wants to take place that Proverbs is trying to speak to us right here. It's in your notes. The priority: focus on the people they can be, not the places they'll go. In fact, why don't we say that all together, beginning with focus? Here we go. Focus on the people they can be, not the places they'll go. See, we live in a culture, including Dr. Seuss, that would look at the next generation, that would look at our children and say, oh, the places they can go. See, but God looks at the next generation. He looks at our children and says, oh, the people they could be. You see, while we're looking for the next spotlight, God's looking for the upright. When we're looking for the next success, God's looking for the next surrender. We cannot become a church that celebrates a minute of fame over a lifetime of faithfulness. We can't do that. Listen to it again. Listen to God, his pleading. What matters to him? The focus he has. He holds success in store for the upright. He is the shield to those who walk as blameless, for he guards the course of the just and protects the way of his faithful ones. Solomon is trying to tell us something. And what he's trying to say is this: God cares more about who you are when you show up than where you're going. I'll say that again. God cares more about who you are when you show up than where you're going. When it comes to our children, church, we must focus on the people they can be, not the places they'll go. Now, Proverbs chapter 3, in it, Solomon continues this process of how do we put focus in developing our kids' character and developing them in that way, the people that they can be. And he does that in three ways: through focused time, focused prayer, and focused fear. Now we're going to turn over to Proverbs chapter 3 and begin reading there to figure out what these focuses are and what Solomon is leaning into with his son. Chapter 3, verse 1. My son, do not forget my teaching, but keep my commands in your heart, for they will prolong your life many years and bring you peace and prosperity. Now, we could breeze through this section, these verses, very quickly and miss an important parenting lesson that comes with focused time. And here it is. What we do with our kids is far more important than what we do for our kids. See, King Solomon is clearly spending time with his son, because it matters. This past week, I had the opportunity to travel for work, to go up to North Carolina for a little bit to get some stuff done. But in that trip, we had the opportunity to go to Charlotte Motor Speedway, do the NASCAR experience, a lot of fun inside of it. But we had an opportunity as well to go to the gift shop. And whenever I travel, I buy what I call a guilty gift, right? I go to the gift shop and I buy something for my kids for whatever reason, just to, when I get home, I can show them that I love them. And I went to the gift shop and found a sticker of NASCAR. It's just NASCAR sticker, kind of a car. My son Beckett loves cars right now. And I just figured, man, he's going to absolutely love this when I get home. Well, when we got back home from this trip, I walked up. And as soon as I walked up in the door, Beckett's all jumping up and down. Daddy, 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 I'm so excited to see you. And I pulled out the sticker and I handed it to him. And I'm like, Beckett, I got this for you. He grabs the sticker, just chucks it to the side. He's like, Daddy, I'm so glad you're here. Can we play? Can we play? And I just grab the sticker and I'm like, no, son, you don't understand. I got this for you. This is for you. He could have cared less. And you know, in that moment, I realized all that mattered to Beckett is that I was with him. He didn't care what I did for him. Parents, hear me. It has to become a focus of ours to spend more time with our kids. What we do with our kids is far more important than what we do for them. As parents, we need to fight for time with our kids. And let me just say something. Let me just say this. Sometimes providing for your kids isn't as important as being with your kids. Sometimes even fathers or whoever brings in the household income, that can be a struggle for us. Man, we just want to provide for our kids when really they just need us to be with them. I feel kind of dumb even talking about this and expanding and going, well, how do we spend time with kids? I mean, how do you teach about spending time with your kids? And so what I want to do is I want to just tell you what I do. What I do with my own kids, what works for me. And what I do is I look for moments when my kids will be a captive audience, when they can't pay attention to anything else that's going on around them, but they are just focused on me and what's taking place. And so for me, that plays out in three times during the day: mealtime, drive time, and bedtime. For whatever reason, these always play out. So mealtime, we try to eat as a family four times a week together and have a meal. And we literally practice the same thing throughout the meal. It's something we've talked about in former series here at 12 Stone. We simply ask our kids the question, what made you mad, sad, and glad today? And they talk about that, and we help them process the emotion of what took place throughout their day. And that's just meaningful time with our kids. The second time I get time with my kids is drive time. I often get the opportunity to drive my daughter Ella to school. And when I do that, I don't have the radio on, I don't have my phone on, I'm not talking to someone, man. I turn everything off, and in that drive, I just get to be with my daughter, and we do something that's absolutely ridiculous, but she absolutely loves it. What we do is we simply drive and count school buses. That's what we do. When we're driving down the road, if you see a school bus, you have to be the first one to yell, one, two, three, and we just count back and forth. And if there's no school buses at all, we play this game. I'm almost embarrassed to say it. But what we do is we say, I wish school buses could be made out of, and then we fill in the blank. She'll say pizza and be like, oh, we'd eat the school bus. And listen, absolutely ridiculous. I get that. Goofy, I know. But there is no more meaningful time for my daughter than when she is with me in that moment. She loves it, cherishes it. Third time is bedtime. This works for most of us. I'll grab a book and read it to our kids. My kid's favorite, Dr. Seuss's All the Places You'll Go, and sometimes we read that. But we'll read a book together, and then I speak two spiritual truths into their lives in that moment by asking two questions. I ask them, I say, Beckett, who loves you? And he goes, oh, Daddy, you love me. I say, that's right, buddy. Don't you ever forget it. But I said, but who loves you more? He always goes, Jesus. And I was like, that's right. Jesus loves you so much, my son. And then the second thing I do is I said, Beckett, what are you? And he leans in close and he goes, I'm a mighty warrior. I'm like, that's right, buddy. You are a mighty warrior. Now, I don't do that to my daughters. I lean to them and say, what are you? And they go, I'm a princess. Like, that's right. You are a princess. And my kids love these moments because I'm with them. They love it so much. When I tuck them into bed and I walk away, my son will go, hey, Dad, what am I? I go, you're a mighty warrior, dude. And he just loves those moments. But man, sometimes we just need to stop and remember what we do with our kids is far more important than what we do for them. I think we're all a little bit guilty of showing up at home with stickers in our hands to compensate for the times we're missing with our kids. Where do you need to be with your kids a little bit more in your life? See, Solomon knew the importance of being with his son. That's why he took time to be with him and teach him these things. Now, the second parenting focus Solomon goes after is focused prayer. In Proverbs chapter 3, we're going to come right back into it. Proverbs chapter 3, right below it, verse 3, is where I'm going to read about focused prayer. Let love and faithfulness never leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. Then you will win favor and good name in the sight of God and man. And here's where he starts getting into it. And this is probably one of the most well-known books of Proverbs. We know this. We've heard it. He says this, trust in the Lord with all of your heart. And here's the parenting focus. And lean not on your own understanding. Isn't that where we get in trouble as parents? If we can admit it, we get in trouble and make mistakes as parents when we start thinking our own understanding is going to help grow up our kids. It's not. Don't lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him, and he will make your paths straight. See, we submit to God through prayer. And when there's moments where we don't understand what to do, maybe we're not even in control of the situation, God would have us come before him, submit our lack of understanding, and he will give us direction through the focused prayer we bring to him. We must bring prayer to God as parents. And here's the line. You'll never be a perfect parent, but you can be a praying parent. I hope you know that. I hope you know that first part, first and foremost, is true of you. You'll never be a perfect parent. Frankly, if you're going to be a parent, if you are a parent, you're going to have a sense of humor. You're going to have to be able to laugh at yourself, at your kids, through the process. And actually, Jimmy Fallon helps us laugh at ourselves and laugh at other parents. He often does hashtag videos asking people to submit on Twitter their parenting fails. And he did a hashtag parent fail video for us to get a little humor to laugh at ourselves as parents. Check it out.
You guys are on Twitter, right? Yeah! It's fun. Well, we use Twitter on our show every single week, so if you watch our show and you want to play along with this game, we do this thing every Wednesday night where I send out a hashtag and we ask you guys to tweet out things based on that topic. Because I just became a dad and I'm scared of messing up as a parent, I went on Twitter and I started a hashtag called Parent Fail. And I asked you guys to tweet out a funny story about a time you messed up as a parent or a time that your parent messed up. We got thousands of tweets, really funny stuff. In fact, within a half hour, it was a trending topic in the United States. So thank you for those tweets. Hashtags, 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 hashtags. This one's from at Henny Boo. Henny Boo Boo. You're missing out on a great joke. Yeah, Henny exactly. Boo, yeah.
Go Henny Boo Boo.
Henny Boo Boo should be, but it's Henny Boo. She says, my dad told me the ice cream truck played music when all the ice cream was gone.
Again.
Genius.
Not
that
a fail.
Genius.
That's a win.
That's a win. That is
a
genius.
That's a parent win.
That is a brilliant, I don't want to get off the couch.
Well, that means they're gone, huh?
They're gone.
Why are you eating so much?
I don't know. The last of the ice cream. Go get me some cigarettes.
This one's from at Mrs. Lauren Thomas. She says, I put sunscreen on my four kids, but one came back burnt. Turns out I lathered one kid up twice. There you go. Not paying attention. Get over here.
Yeah.
This one's from at Joe Campbell. He says, my dad's a horrible speller. One Christmas, my sister got a present from Satan. Oh. I'll open this later.
That's just
I'll open this later. Yeah.
Oh, man. Listen, you have to have a sense of humor because you will never be a perfect parent. But you can be a praying parent. Mark Batterson, talks about this in a book that he wrote called Praying Circles Around the Lives of Your Children. I highly recommend you grab that if you're a parent and want to learn more about praying over your children. Very impactful. But there's one quote that really grabbed my attention. It really has encouraged me as a parent when it comes to praying for my kids. I want to read it for you. He says this: prayer is your highest privilege as a parent. Don't just leverage it as a last resort when all else fails. Make it your first priority. Nothing you can do will give you a higher return on your investment. Prayer turns ordinary parents into prophets who shape the destinies of their children, grandchildren, and every generation that follows. You don't become a praying parent by default. You do it by design, by desire, and by discipline. With your physical eyes, you see who a person is, but with your spiritual eyes, you see what that person can become. Incredible insight about the importance of how we should be praying for our children. But it's one thing to read a quote, and another thing to practically understand how do we pray for our kids. So I want to help you understand how I process praying for my own children through a chart, through a diagram that can help us out. Now, imagine that these two circles right here represent your life, and the red one representing the whole of your life. And the circle in the middle, it says control, represents the part of your life that you actually have control over. See, the red portion is the concern. You have concern about this area of your life, but you can't actually control it. Now let me make sense of it for our prayer life. Here's what I do. The areas of my life that I can control, I parent. The areas of my life that I can't control, I pray. So if I can't control something inside of my kid's life, I am praying over it. But if I can control something inside of my kid's life, I am parenting through it. Now let me give you a practical example. See, I'm not praying that my daughter won't get married till she turns 30. I can control that, right? I got an arranged marriage all set up to hold that back. But what I do pray for is that my daughter would grow up and marry a man that loves God more than he'll love her. See, I'm not praying for my son, Beckett, for him to have success in life. I can parent him into that, help him grow up to be a follower of Jesus Christ. But I am praying that my son will grow up to be a man that when nobody else is watching, he will obey and honor God. I'm praying for that. Are you praying for your kids? See, there's areas that where we can control. Parent, go after it. Go after these 4 weeks and how we help you through these seasons. But when there are areas that you can't control, where you're concerned about, that's why God gave us prayer as parents, to lift it up to him. One of my favorite prayers that I have for my kids when it comes to the area of concern for their life is I'll often pray for their safety, but my favorite prayer that I pray over my kids is I pray, God, make them safe. Dangerous. Make them dangerous for your kingdom, that they would grow up, and as soon as they walk into the room, that Satan would just be in trouble. Make them dangerous. Now, this is how I process through prayer with my kids and how I distinguish what I'm going to parent and what I'm going to pray through. But as a word of encouragement to you, I've come to the terms with the fact that I've made more wrong decisions. I've made more mistakes as a parent than I've done right as a parent. But I've taken courage from the simple fact that it's not just my wife and I who are parenting our kids, that my Heavenly Father is parenting my kids as well. That where I make mistakes and where I'm not perfect as an earthly father, I know my Heavenly Father, that God can step in and succeed in those areas. And I want to take a moment to talk to two groups over that. The first one is this. Maybe you grew up and you didn't have good parents, and you never understood that God fully loved you or that you were loved at all. And I want to speak to you and let you know that as we're walking through this parenting season and series, I pray that God would change your perception of what a father can look like, that you have a heavenly father who loves you deeply, that cares about you. And I hope you realize that throughout this series. And the second group I kind of want to talk to right here in this moment is say this, that there are some of you in here that are thinking to yourselves, man, I wish I knew this earlier. I've made some mistakes in parenting my kids, and maybe for you, your kids are prodigals. They're off and running off doing their own way. They've walked away from God. And I want to encourage you that where we failed as earthly parents, I believe God can succeed. And so we're joining you in prayer throughout this series. And in fact, we're going to talk through parenting prodigals towards the end of this series as well to go after this focus of the people they can be. And focus prayer is going to be one of those ways. Now, the last parenting focus that Solomon goes after is focused fear. And he talks about it, again, Proverbs chapter 3, verse 7. We're right back into it, soaking in Proverbs. Let me read it for you. He says this to his son, "Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and shun evil. This will bring health to your body and nourishment to your bones." Now this phrase, the fear of the Lord, is referenced over 19 times throughout the book of Proverbs. It's obviously something that Solomon wants to get inside of his child, inside of his son. But what Solomon did is, you have to understand, Solomon was not speaking out of ignorance. He was speaking this into his son out of experience. He knew what the fear of the Lord was. So what is the fear of the Lord? The fear of the Lord is not that I'm scared of God in my life. The fear of the Lord, they would have understood that this is actually a reverent faith and trust in God that is so deeply rooted in obedience, in love, that literally the fear of the Lord, the fear of God, is that we love God so much that we could never stray away from his commandments and what he asks us to do, because we understand that his love for us is so great that he would never lead us and take us to the wrong place to go. That's what the fear of the Lord is. And Solomon is just speaking this into his son. And Solomon knows how valuable the fear of the Lord is because he's seen what it has done in his own faith. Now let's make a point. Here's the point. Our children's future is connected to our faith. It is. Solomon is not only speaking the fear of the Lord into his son, he's demonstrating it every day by the way that he lives. And his son is watching. Do you know that? That our children are watching us every single day live out our faith or the lack thereof. And their future is connected, not determined, but connected by our faith. So maybe for you in this series, the best thing you could ever do for your kids in parenting them is love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your mind. That in your home, you would so fear the name of the Lord, meaning you'd be so rooted in love for him that there would be no other name higher than his inside of your home. That your kids would watch you love God with such a ferocious nature that you would seek after him through prayer, seek after him through your word, and that your kids would watch that. And in the same way, they could never escape it, that they would always come back to the way you start them out. Maybe that's the best thing you can do for your children in this parenting series. Solomon desperately wanted his son to have the future God wanted for him. So he focused his son's fear, not to be on the world, not to be on life circumstances, but to have the fear of the Lord inside of him. Why did he do this? Why did Solomon do this? It's the last point. The future you get is in the God you fear. See, the future we're going to get is in the God we fear. And I want to ask you a question. Where in your life does God want to bless you or your children, but he can't because you love and fear something else greater than him? Is it in your career? It might even be your family, your kids. Whatever that is, as parents, we need to love God above all else and have focused time, prayer, and fear so that when it comes to our children, we will focus on the people they can be so God can take them to all the places he wants them to go. Now, as we turn this service over to the campus pastors, we're going to invite them to come up right now and to pray over you, to pray over you as a parent, but really to pray over us as a people, that we would concentrate on becoming the people God called us to be so he can take us to the places he wants us to go. So here at the Central Campus, I want to do that for you if you would. We're going to pray over you as parents, as people, that God would do these very things inside of your life. So if you would, bow your heads with me. So Father God, we thank you for who you are and what you're doing inside of our lives. And I pray for every parent in this room That we would change our priority and change our focus, that we would focus on the people we can be as parents and the people our kids can be for you, so that you can take us to all the places you want us to go in life. God, if we're honest, parenting is a very difficult process to go through. But there is no greater privilege than that of raising our children, the ones that you've entrusted us to, so that they may know the name of God, that they may know the name of Jesus Christ, that they would have the fear of the Lord inside of their lives, that they may become the people you have called them to be. So, Father, would you lead us as only you can? Would you direct us as parents to glorify you in everything that we do as we seek out your will? For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. At this time, we're going to receive the offering. If you're guests with us this morning, thank you so much for being here with us, for getting back here. Again, Travis told you there's a card that you can fill out on your bulletin. If you would, you can tear that off and drop that in the offering basket to let us know that you're here. But there is no obligation to give. Please just let that offering basket pass on by. If you're church family, we know how to honor God with our first fruits, with our tithes and our offering. But while the offering is being received, we wanted to play a little bit with this idea of discipline, which is coming next week on the discipline years, about how difficult it actually can be to discipline our kids and what we often look like in the process. Check it out.
Hey, have you guys signed up for the 5K yet?
Yeah, mm-hmm. We just signed up yesterday.
Yep. I'm kind of nervous. I haven't got much of my running time in since Ella was born.
Mm-hmm. You'll be fine.
So Sarah, tell me, how is it having three compared to two?
Three kids is challenging. Mm-hmm. We're outnumbered, you know?
And I hear that your youngest is already playing sports.
Yeah.
Yes.
Wow. He's very well advanced for his age, and he's also an artist. So what we decided to do was go ahead and sell some of his work on Etsy. And then we're going to retire. Yes.
Yep. How old is he?
Five.
Wow. Oh, they grow up so fast.
Don't they?
You know, I remember.
Ella? Ella, get down from there. Ella, get down. Ella, get down. Thank you, sweetie. Mm.
She is such an explorer, that one. She really does have the adventurer spirit.
I'm sorry. Tommy? Hey, Tommy? Hey, Tommy? Tommy? Tommy, could you get out of the mud, buddy? Okay, thank you. Thank you.
He's an explorer, too. Yeah. For sure.
So, Phil, Sarah tells me that you're helping coach Tommy's baseball team?
Yes, yes. And I'm so excited about it.
She is still not getting down. Ella! Ella, get down from there. Ella, get down!
Listen to your mother, Ella.
One. Two. Thank you, sweetie. Mm-hmm.
The kids are so excited this year. They got new uniforms and it's this little yellow stripe. Tommy! Can you get out of the mud, man?
Do you hear your father? You get out of the mud.
Are you still in the mud?
Get out of the mud!
Tommy.
Tommy, how many times do I...
One.
Tommy.
Two. Two and a half, for real, for real.
Two and three quarters.
Thank you, buddy.
The baseball outfits are so cute. The
Would you like some more water?
I would love some more water.
Well, should we tell them?
Sure.
We have some pretty big news.
What?
It's still a little early, but we're pregnant.
Now I am not going to tell you again.
Ella.
Tommy.
One.
Tommy, what are you
Tommy,
doing?
Tommy, you are still in the mud, brother.
Two.
2.2.
Tommy.
Tommy, I'm not having it. This
Tommy,
no
get out of the mud, man.
Don't you dare.
Do not let me get to three.
Two and a half? I'm so tired of telling you this.
You know what?
This
get out of the mud.
Lips are pursing.
Do you hear me?
No.
Two and 12.
Ella, get out of the mud.
Man, I will set you on fire.
You hear your mother's tone?
Ella!
Now! Get out of the mud!
Thank you,
buddy. Yeah.
It's mama's little genius.
They're so sweet.
The next president.
There you go.
Can't live without him.
Can't live without this potato salad. Am I right?
I can see it.